The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Friday. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. We're going to spend 3 hours with Brett and Mark, who I believe are making their third appearance on here, but they have, in each case, left us with so much to think about and consider. If you go to guests, click on the link right underneath their name, and you'll go to their archival page with all of their images and their videos, and there's a whole lot more new material up there tonight, which we're going to go through. It's supposedly winter in the Northwest here. You know what the temperature is now? It's dark. It's 7 o'clock Pacific time. It's 54 degrees. 54. Should be down in the high 20s, low 30s. We haven't had a winter. We haven't had much rain to speak of here. Lakes way, way down. So a lot of it went south into California, but still there's not enough. You can go out and dig a hole, and you'll have moist soil for maybe an inch or two, and that's it. It's just, it's not here. I know the Midwest and the East, lots of weather, snow, rain, sleet, hail, you name it, but not here in the Northwest, at least where we are. Hope where you are it's tolerable. Brett and Mark are standing by. Let's find out if they're both hearable, and hopefully they are. Mark, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Jeff.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. Have you run into any unusual people asking what you've been filming lately?
No, not lately. Most of that happened some years ago, but...
Yeah. Well, we're going to get into that. Have you looked at the page, how I've got it laid out for you?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
Good. Okay. Well, we're going to do that. Brett, are you there?
Yes. How are you doing, Jeff?
I'm good, thank you. Let me get you to talk just a little bit louder, if we can.
Okay. Yeah, let me see if I can get this mic straightened out. Is that okay?
That's much better. Now you've got a full range of sound. Good. Okay.
Good. You got to hold the mic here. Okay.
Yeah, we need to get that. Whatever you're doing, you got a high end in your voice. Before it was just kind of muddy. So we don't want Mark sounding that much better than you. Okay. You both sound good. All right.
Good.
Now, let me ask you this: since we last talked, the holidays have come and gone, and so forth. And I hope you both had a very nice holiday season. And,
yes, we did.
Have either one of you had any more experiences since you were last on the program?
I had one StarCraft sighting.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of interesting. It's like the sixth StarCraft sighting I've had in the last 3 months. And I just wanted to note something odd about the last six sightings I've had is a while back, Brett and I started looking at our watches every time we saw a StarCraft because we noticed, we began to notice that they would appear with what seems like might be a numerological significance, like they'd be like, let's say they showed up at 6:01.
Okay.
If you add 6 and 1 together, it equals 7 in numerology.
Right.
And the last six sightings in a row that I've had, they all ended up being sevens.
Six
like
in a row.
6:01, 10:06. Yeah. Six in a row, and so I looked up the number 7 to see if there's any numerological significance, and it basically said that 7 equals physical and spiritual perfection, or it can mean seeker of the truth.
Yeah, so it doesn't.
Kinda,
it doesn't mean the end is near.
No, it doesn't mean the end is near.
Oh, all right. Right.
But I just, you know, I don't know. Brett and I just, we do that automatically now, is we just check our watches and see if it comes up with something
very good.
Consistent, you know.
Brett, anything in your world? Did you see anything unusual lately?
Yeah, I had one sighting since I was on the show with you last. And I was actually out with the girl that I started dating recently.
Uh-huh.
And we came out of a restaurant up here. In you know, in a little town that's near where I live,
right?
And the person I'm dating hasn't really been exposed to any of this sort of thing. Although I've talked a little bit with her about it, but it's not really, you know, something that she spends, you know, any time on. So it was a little surprising when we came out of the restaurant and she was having a smoke. And we were just standing around outside the car before we were getting ready to drive home. And I was leaning back against the vehicle, and sure enough, a StarCraft popped up and tracked right over the top of the restaurant. And it was surprising because a lot of times they're just really careful about how they show up and who they show up for a lot of times. And I was surprised that. Anyway, it was her first sighting.
What? Okay, hold on. Let me. First of all, I want to get your little bit muddy on that mic still. Don't know what we can do. Maybe get closer to it.
Well,
I'm going to have Todd is going to push the high ends up a little bit on the EQ. See if we can get you to sound a little bit better. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Okay. How's that?
Oh, way better. Yeah.
Way better. Okay.
I don't know what you're doing, but now you sound good. Okay. Now, what time of day? Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm on an earpiece and I'm trying not to hold on to the phone while I talk. Yeah. It was evening time. Let's see. She finishes up at work at 7. We drive north, probably around 9:30 or so.
Okay. Conditions, stars, clouds.
Yeah. No, it was clear, but not perfectly clear. But, you know, but basically clear. Yeah.
Okay. So when you say StarCraft at night, are we talking about a light moving across the heavens? Is that what we're talking about?
It's a light with a very specific signature to it.
Help me out.
Like, yeah, okay, not all the craft that Mark and I see do we categorize that way.
Right.
The StarCraft specifically are a white light that does not flicker. It can power up and power down, and it can blink out. But it's unlike any light on an airplane. It looked just like Venus dropped down into the atmosphere at various different altitudes, and it's perfectly clear and perfectly calm. It has a certain frequency signature to it, and it's unlike amber-bottomed UFOs that we see, or the pulsars, or there's a bunch of different things we see, but the StarCraft are unique.
Do we think that they're way up there? You're a professional pilot. If you don't know, Brett is an airline captain. He's the best as far as witnesses go. Was this a very high event or mid-altitudes, low altitudes? What do you think?
Yeah, they vary. This one was a mid-altitude craft, but I've seen them as low as, I would go so far as to say 1,500 to 2,000 feet, all the way up for thousands of feet.
That's awfully low. I don't know. I'm hearing somebody breathing in the background. Maybe it's Mark. I don't know.
That's probably me. I'll hold my phone a little further out.
Okay. Thank you. When you're not talking, I just pull it away. Okay. Now, I got to do this. This is fun. You met a young lady. All right. You're dating. You introduce yourself. You get to talking and all that. How do you broach this topic with her? At what point in the relationship do you do that? Where do you roll the dice?
Early on.
Really? All right.
Yeah. Early on, but gently. And in this case, there were other, she's Thai. So we have, and English is, a second language.
Yeah.
And one learned rather recently for her. So communication's trickier, just in general. But I started out with, leaving one of the book that my brother wrote, which has a bunch of pictures in it.
Uh-huh.
And, just explaining to her that, I was working on editing my brother's book and this is the subject material.
Yeah.
And just letting her thumb through it with no pressure. And she did thumb through it and walked away and never asked me a question about it. So I was just like, that's fine. I just go easy with it.
Sure.
This one night, when the ship came by, I just explained to her, I just explained what we were looking at and why it's different than an airplane and why it's not an airplane and why it's not a satellite. And, so that she could begin to understand that not everything moving across the sky at nighttime or during the day for that matter is something that we built.
How did that go over with her? How did she accept it?
She's pretty open, so she was okay with that because she understands there's a lot that she doesn't understand about reality. So, that it went okay.
Well, good.
She wasn't like blocking it or just blowing me off.
Right. You just don't go up to somebody and I say, "You want to go to Mars
tonight?"
Yeah. No, it's when you looked at this thing, I'm just curious, did you point at it and say, that's what I'm talking about? That's a ship. It's not an airplane.
I did.
How did you do it?
I did.
Uh-huh.
No, I just said, I looked at it for a minute to identify it because it was moving. Sometimes it takes longer than others, and sometimes you do make a mistake with them, but you can almost always tell after 45 seconds. What you got, because occasionally you do get, something more, typical that may look like a ship until you watch it for a while and then you're like, okay, yeah, that's not a ship. But this one, I'd say within 10 seconds, it was obvious to me that it was. And of course it was coming towards us and getting easier to see.
Sure.
And then you pick up the classic StarCraft signature to it when it gets closer.
One of the things about Brett and Mark is that, and I assume they both do this, they call up sightings. They request sightings. They'll ask. How often do you guys do that? Mark, first you.
I think Brett probably does that more than I do, but I do that too, and I would say that maybe 50% of the time that I do that, they show up within a very short period of time. And sometimes, you'll get no result at all and a month will go by or so. But I would say a good amount of the time that they will show up. And if they're going to show up kind of on request, they'll do it like right away.
And it's daytime, nighttime. What's the predominance?
Well, for me, it's been nighttime sightings, primarily the StarCraft variety of ships, for the since about 2005. I had all my daytime sightings were between 98 and 2005.
Okay.
And then they
okay.
abruptly stopped and the StarCraft thing took over.
All right. And so, Brett, you do call them up. You ask, you say, okay, how do you do it?
Well, this goes back to like the yogic training that I've had.
Yeah.
So it's the same way you would place a prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Because your transmitter, you know, so you rouse the prayer in your heart, and then you transmit it through your third eye. That's your transmitter. So you mm-hmm. transmit mm-hmm. out into the universe. If you want to talk to God, you can do it that way. If you want to talk to the higher ETs, you can do it that way. That's the way to transmit. And, you know, so I've got a really good transmitter, but not always that great of a receiver.
I see. So it's basically organizing and focusing intent to have a result. It's more of an
abstract. If I may add.
Go ahead.
Brett calls on them the way he just described, and I've always called on them much more casually. It's just like I'll just go out there and casually talk in my mind.
Give me an example.
Yeah, I'll just say if you guys are out here tonight, I'd sure appreciate seeing you. And
that's it.
You know, if you're not busy doing something else, I tell them. And then they'll show up. And so I found with them, they'll respond to, you know, to a more fervent prayer type call that, like Brett was talking about. But they also seem to be able to just casually respond to casual mental messages to them.
You know, that's interesting. And Brett, when you think about there's, 7.5 billion people down here thinking, throwing off energy. That would suggest a couple of things. One, the focus and intensity might rouse something within you, whether it be casual or the more yogic type, of a different frequency, if I might, that they would be more prone to pick up. Otherwise, can you imagine the noise that they might hear?
I know. Somehow they seem to be able to just key into whoever they want to respond to. And I have no idea how they do that, but it's happened enough times where Brett and I are convinced of their receptivity.
Very good. All right, let's go to the page that I hope all of you have pulled up. It's Brett and Mark's data page, and you'll see right at the top a red link. It says full video of Mark collapsing to ground after ET stranger asks, "What you filming there?" Now, below that is the existing story that I already had up on this data page. Stunning audio-video clip of Mark being knocked down and out by, and we think it is somebody very unusual. Now, what we have in the red link above that is the full raw video of that encounter, which what I'd like to start tonight, and let's just go down to the audio. That's the blue. It says audio. You'll see it. It's not the red link. Go into the text where it says December 15th, 2018. A stranger with a strange voice asks, and then look at the audio link at the bottom there. Click on that audio link, and it'll pull up an audio file. Okay, and I'm going to hear that first. Hopefully it'll come up. Oh, I'm getting a square box. Odd. Let me back off. Try it again. Okay, there it is. Well, no, it starts to load, and then it flips over to a box. Can you load that, Mark? Are you online right now? Are you on the site?
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm not.
Okay, that's all right. All right, there it is. If you click on that box, it'll actually open a larger box. Why, I don't know, but that seems to be loading. Brett, are you online?
No, I don't have internet at my house at all.
Okay. All right, I've got it loaded here. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play this. Then we're going to go back and listen to the video clip at the top. This is also a video clip, by the way, but we've kind of just cut it down to where the key audio is, and all of you will be able to hear this. Let me just do this, then I'm going to have Mark set the stage. We're going to then look at the video. So here's the audio, once again, of the strange encounter, which left Mark on the ground with his camera still recording.
Excuse me. What you filming there?
Well, I saw this weird...
Okay, yes, you did. You did hear something at the end there. Now, Mark is in, this is in daylight. He's within sight of the Space Needle in Seattle. He's recording an object in the sky that's not a plane, which you'll see. And this stranger comes up behind him, I guess, and tell us what happened again. And he says, "Excuse me," or "Excuse me, what?
Yes.
What you filming there?"
Yes, he does, and I'm actually facing him. He's about not more than 5 feet in front of me.
Where did he approach you from? Behind?
He approached me from my left, he came out of the door, the basement door of the apartment building that I lived in,
uh-huh.
And I was standing on the little walkway that comes, cement walkway that comes out of the door, and behind me is a brick wall, and he walks in front of me,
uh-huh.
and then I, for some reason, I don't know why, but I could not get I was looking right at him, but I couldn't see his face. It was like he didn't have a face. I don't know how to really explain that, but, and then he says, "What you filming there?" And I begin to answer by saying, "I've got something weird." I start to say the word weird, and then there's a pause, and then it sounds like I get knocked out, and you can see the camera go down to the ground as if I think I slumped against the brick wall behind me to the ground, and the camera rests on the ground.
Well, and you also moaned. You hear him moan.
Yes, I did. I moaned. And
unmistakable.
Yeah, unmistakable. And then after I apparently get knocked out or switched off or whatever they do, you hear a voice in the background say, "Leave him."
Right. Okay, let me play this again. Then I'm going to take everybody up to the video, the red link at the top. I'm going to go through the break here, Todd, to get this in. All right, here comes the audio again for all of you listening at home. Okay? You'll hear the guy. He'll say, "Excuse me, what you filming there?" And Mark will start to explain, and then you'll hear him literally pass out and moan. And he's on the ground, and then about 10, 12 seconds later, a voice says clearly, "Leave him." No mistaking this. Here we go.
"Excuse me. What you filming there?"
Well, I saw this weird...
You hear him? He went down. He's on the ground now. And here's the voice that says, "Leave him." There it is. All right.
Yeah, I heard that quite well.
Let's go back to the data page, Brett and Mark's data, and go up to the top link. Now, this is the full video of that actual encounter, and you get to see the UFO that Mark was actually filming at the time this guy walks up, the faceless man, we'll call him.
Yeah, and, that's a good one.
And asked him, "What are you filming there?" Okay, so let's listen to this, and for those of you at home, click it and watch. I'm going to watch it right now. Okay, there we go. Have to load it up. It's a Dropbox video, unexplained incident that is suggested in the 10698 UFO footage. It's quite unexplained. So this will load up, and you'll be able to see what he was filming. There it is in the sky. I gotta stop this. It's a daylight sky for those of you not able to see this. A little bit of cloud cover. Actually looks like a possible residue of chemtrailing up there. There's a white dot, unmistakable. It's not zigzagging. It looks relatively stationary. Looks like about the middle of the day-ish. I'm curious about this guy though. That's really strange. Did you see him come up out of the door?
No, I actually didn't. I heard the door open.
Ah, okay. All right.
And I was still looking straight ahead, And so I was aware of him. The door was maybe 15 feet away from
now
me.
You got it peripherally. I got you.
Okay. Yeah, I got him peripherally. And he walked. He just walked in front of me and then asked that question. And when he was, before he asked the question, he stood in front of me for, you know, a moment or so.
Uh-huh.
And I was looking at him, but I was thinking, it's really odd that I can't, I don't even know if I was thinking this, but I was observing that I couldn't see his face. I could see his clothing, and he had what to me looked like semi-long, stringy, grayish, dishwater blonde hair. But there was like no face, you know, he was only like 5 feet in front of me, and I couldn't see his face. It was
strange.
That's
a voice suggestive of an older man, not necessarily,
yeah,
but... That's what it sounded like.
You know, and I didn't. My general impression was that he was kind of, I don't know, maybe, you know, late 30s, early 40s or something. But
mm-hmm.
That was just my impression. I really couldn't see his face, so I don't know.
The big question here, I'm going to play that again. The big question is, what is that background music, noise, sound effects?
I can explain that. That clip, well, first of all, my video archive of all this stuff is on mini DV tape, and I have no way of getting it into my computer right now to get the best clip. So Brett, managed to get some VHS tapes that I had made years ago and, transfer it to digital.
But what's that noise?
Yes, and some of those the clips where you hear that noise, there's a couple of them there where you hear that noise. It was from an edited version of clips that I put together for Brett to do a seminar years ago, and I put a background noise in it, but when he transferred it from VHS to digital, it changed that background noise, which was quite subtle when I put it in there, into this weird sounding, you know, science fiction sounding thing.
Absolutely.
I don't know what that is.
It absolutely does. All right, let's play this again. So all of you at home can watch this entire video. Many of you already have, and it opens up with a blue sky and the UFO near the Space Needle in Seattle. So here we go again. That strange soundtrack. And the guy will walk up here. Excuse me.
What's
your film in there?
Well, I saw this weird...
And there he goes down to the ground, and the camera's on the ground, still recording, and there was Leave Him. So it's all there on the clip. That's the entire piece of footage. And that's pretty wild. Then it's repeated again. So, Brett, what are your thoughts when you look at this and hear that voice? What do you think? What do you make of it?
You know, what comes to my mind is that it's a non-human being that is, you know, masquerading as a human.
Right.
And not doing that great of a job at it. And, you know, just to get in close proximity to my brother right before they knocked him out.
Yeah. Was he in any way obstructing your field of view when you, do you remember when you were recording this object?
No, the object was above and behind him. So,
okay.
I could still see the object, even though he was standing in front of me.
Oh, you clearly had it captured. I mean, that's a UFO, no question.
Yeah, and there's quite a bit more footage of that, of the UFO itself,
mm-hmm.
That I had. The sighting was a fairly long duration, so.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that's the UFO, like right before this incident happened.
Okay,
that's
so I got you. Now you're recording this, you say, for a longer period of what, a minute or two?
No longer than that. Like maybe, gosh, you know, I'm really bad at time, but
Mark, it's an 8 minute video, roughly.
Thank you, brother.
So, Brett, he was there long enough that, let's just say, for the sake of fun, that whatever was involved with that object had time to maybe transport somebody down there to interact with Mark like that. There was maybe a connectivity of some kind. It wasn't random. The two had to be connected.
That's right. What I think. And in fact, I you know, this Brett and I have thought about this so much, but as crazy as this sounds, I think he transported down right on the other side of the door in the stairwell, and if he had materialized in the stairwell on the stairs, no camera would have seen him. We had security cameras down there, but if he manifested on the stairs, the camera wouldn't have seen him. And then I think he just walked outside the door. And I mean, that's crazy as that sounds. That's my theory.
No, it's a pragmatic, I think, honest potential there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, at least something like that must have happened.
Yeah. No, now that I know it's 8 minutes long, plenty of time.
Yeah.
You guys are being watched anyway. You've been somehow selected, singled out, both of you, for these so many encounters that we've already talked about, and many more to go tonight. Now, we've got below that audio in red, more videos. And there are six more videos down below there. And we can go through those. I don't know who's. So the first one... Go ahead.
They're all mine except one. The one where you see Brett's little girl when she was just a baby almost. That's from Virginia, and Brett filmed that one, and the other ones are mine.
Okay, now, why, I don't know, but the first one, I've titled it Remarkable Daylight UFO Filmed by Airline Pilot. But that's you, Mark. That's not Brett. I'm wrong on that, correct?
No, Brett's the airline pilot.
But I mean, as far as this video is concerned, let's go ahead and click on it, everybody. It's the first one.
Yeah, see what's on there.
Remarkable Daylight UFO. It's the first one. And I think it's the one that was taken from what looks like a captain's seat in an airliner.
Oh, really? Well, I didn't even see that one. Interesting.
Let me see. It's loading. Yeah, okay. This is the one, the object, it sounds like we're in an aircraft. There's a white round UFO and a diamond underneath it.
No, that's the October footage.
What is
because
that?
Because I'm the one that did all those clips and sent them to you.
Okay.
But those are what I did.
Is that your footage?
No, the only footage that I sent from, I only have two UFOs I've ever photographed. All the other ones, I just look at them. I don't try to capture them.
Okay.
But I have is, and I only sent one of them, and it has my little girl. I think it's the third video maybe that I sent you. I numbered them one through.
Oh, that's an adorable daughter you have. What a pretty little girl.
Yeah, she is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So tell me, this is the white dot with a diamond under it. So, Mark, what is this video about?
That, I believe, is from the October 6th sighting. Some more footage from that particular encounter.
This is what you're filming? All right? This is from that encounter.
From that incident, yes.
Okay, so we can run this. It sounds, that must be a street noise we hear that almost sounds like it's...
You know, it could be, and I'm really not really 100% sure what's going on there. Like I say, these are transferred from VHS, and they're like 20-year-old tapes. So.
Now, Brett, this image, once it resolves, the diamond is apparently an artifact of zooming in on it. Yeah, autofocus,
yeah,
whatever.
It's not the ship.
When it backs off, you can see the ship, and the ship has two segments to it, or it almost looks like there's a tiny diamond underneath a white dot. It looks like there are two segments. What do you think?
It changes every frame.
It's constantly in flux.
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Now, this is the one, again, that Mark captured before he hit the deck. This is the one that was above the Space Needle. But it was not always a single white dot. Did it actually grow a second portion to it?
Yeah, it actually changed shape, and it appeared to change size. Like, when I first started filming it, it seemed closer and bigger. And then it became really small. And and kind of remain smaller, but it seemed to change not only shape, mm-hmm. size, and also, let's see, what's the word I'm looking for? Also,
well, it rotates.
Yeah, and also consistency. Like sometimes it appears to be this silvery, milky white substance, and then later on it appears to be more dark gray and metallic.
I'm looking at it now, and it's turned into a rectangular box.
Exactly. It just changes constantly.
All right. Very good. Now, go ahead, Brett.
I was going to say the next tape, what I did with those is I grabbed that first clip that we've already talked about. The next clip that I grabbed was also from that video, and I wanted to show your viewers a little bit more footage of the strangeness of that UFO. So the next clip is also that UFO, and you'll see a lot better shot of it in the next clip, the one I think I had numbered as 1A.
All right, he's got the next clip is of your daughter.
Okay, so that was what my third clip that I put there. Okay.
Let me go to the third clip and see if that's correct. I knew these were wrong. No, the third clip is the comparison of known aerial objects and UFOs. Let me see what the fourth.
Oh yeah, if you play, I'm not sure, but if you play that, maybe on the end of that one there might be a UFO. I can't remember. But
okay, I think
I put. Yeah, I put the UFO. I put the known aerial objects, and then I put the UFO footage after that. But
okay.
It's not the one I'm telling you about right now.
Yeah,
right.
But that's a good clip because you see conventional objects shot with the same camera at the same distances.
I know, it's terrific. All right, I'm going to go through this. Let me go back to the second video, and let's just pick it up there. That's your daughter, right? We open up with the little girl. So the second video, and we'll click that to start. Okay. So, Brett, tell us what we're going to see here.
Okay, this video happened after my wife and I came back from the Esetti Ranch.
Oh yeah.
And we were starting to have, we went for several years with quite a few sightings. Barbersville, Vineyard is where that was shot, and that we had numerous sightings there. For whatever reason, one because it's rather remote, probably. A lot of times we were the only people out there, especially during the cooler weather. So what happens with this is we'd already had some sightings out there. I decided to bring a camera out and see if we could capture, you know, some footage. Called them up. They showed up. We put the camera on them. And that's what happened with that sighting. And that's the first sighting I had in the presence of my daughter, my oldest daughter, Ariana.
Okay. Now, there is nothing to be seen for, 5, 8, 9, 10 seconds. And then an object blinks on. I mean, all of a sudden it's there. So let's listen to this. Okay. I hope she got over that cough. All right. So we're looking at the sky here, and as you all can see, there's nothing to be seen but sky.
I'm not getting anything.
He just blinked in.
I'm not getting anything.
Well, don't worry about it, because sometimes they don't want you to film them, but they still want to show themselves.
All right. Now, the lady's voice said, well, she doesn't see anything. There's nothing there. And you're saying just, be patient, basically, right?
Yeah, and that's my, that was my wife.
Okay, here we go.
Take her and let me do it.
Oh, no, all of a sudden, there it is.
We've got these guys popped up. I asked, Grace, it is a UFO. He's right on his side. It's really interesting. I asked him about 10 minutes ago if they were available. Oh, I'm getting them. If they were available to come, and they have come, and here they are. Oh, my God, Grace, he's almost in.
Great stuff. That's wild. So that's one you called up and they granted your wish.
Yeah, they showed up for that. That was a pretty cool sighting. And it went, that was sort of a ship, not so much a StarCraft. This was more like a disc, and it went on its side, and almost went inverted, which is what I'm about ready to say, but I cut that clip a little short. But,
okay.
Yeah, that was a pretty interesting, sighting there.
Okay.
Can I give
sure.
you a quick little brief? There's a little bit of phenomena that's gone around. A lot of times we don't get to this on the show, but Mark and I talk about it off show a lot. There's a lot of strangeness that goes on around some of this UFO footage and activity, and just as an example, I had this, 8mm camera. I haven't used it for years. These tapes, I haven't.
8mm film?
Yeah, this is 8mm film.
No, video, like high 8.
Video. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Got
yeah,
it.
That's
got it. I remember high 8, yeah.
Okay, so we've got the video. And I only had like maybe 10 or 11 of these. They're like cassettes, And none of them I had marked. I had them in like a Tupperware container, in my living room. Where the TV and stereo and things are. And I had to dig around to gather them all up. I got them out on the table here the other day because it was time to grab this, this footage and start converting some of this stuff and digitizing it. So, for the show. So I was like, and I wanted to get this Barbersville footage available for y'all. So, I had all these cassettes out, and none of them were marked. I had my India trip and different trips and things on there, and children. But anyway, I finally found the one tape that I was looking for, which was this UFO tape. And it was the only tape that was, I had it marked on the tape itself, but not in the container that it goes into. So I was digging around, and I finally found it. And I had to put each disc, into the camera and look at it to see what I had, because none of this stuff was marked. I didn't, very bad job with that. So, I threw in this. I was so excited to find this cassette. I was like, okay, I found the UFO footage. And I was excited because this is the only stuff I've actually ever shot on tape. Huh. I just don't film. I just accept the sightings, see them, and document them in my mind.
Right.
And that's what I've been doing for years. But, this was my one, one tape that I had a couple of sightings on.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was excited to find it, and I put it in the, in the camera, and it was completely erased.
Oh my.
Okay. Yeah. The tape was completely, all these tapes were basically together. Every other tape, even tapes that I had that were 5 years older than that tape, everything was fine.
Uh-huh.
Just that one tape.
Now, when you say erased, are we talking about 100% nothing there?
There is nothing on the tape.
Wow. All right. Not just partial. It's gone. All right.
Oh, no. It was gone. From end to end, I was so upset because I didn't realize that.
Uh-huh.
But then I found a bunch of other VHS cassettes that Mark and I had backed up some stuff on.
Uh-huh.
And I dug those out of my closet. They were in a completely different place. And thank goodness I actually had
that footage.
Yeah. And so what you're seeing there is a digitized version of VHS tape.
Very good. It looks great. It's very, very clear. Mark, go ahead.
Jeff.
Yeah.
In corroboration of Brett's story about the erased tape, one time back, probably 2000 or thereabouts, I was at the Seattle Center at nighttime, and I was videotaping a UFO, kind of a oval-shaped orb, with my mini DV camera, and out of this orb came smaller orbs, and they started hovering around the larger orb, and I videotaped the whole thing, and I was really excited. I thought, this is going to be some of my best footage, and so I, eventually the UFO, they do a fade out where they just fade out and they're gone. So I played the tape back to see if I had gotten the footage, and what I did is I taped over this whole tape had footage already on it, of other things, and I taped over some of what was there. But anyway, when I rewound the tape to see what I had, that whole section was erased. and everything before it and after it was still there, but that UFO footage was erased. And
All right, how does that happen?
Oh,
it
also,
doesn't just happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I heard the camera started going through it, like it made a rewinding sound or something. Like, you know, it started doing things by itself a little bit, and then I rewound it and found that that footage was gone. So it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess it's kind of like the UFOs themselves can decide if you're going to get footage of them or not, you know.
Well, I don't know what else to say except, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's the one experience like that I had.
Go ahead.
You had two other experiences, Mark. Remember, one of them actually damaged your camera, and the other one, you had a completely charged battery, and you put the camera on the video on the UFO, and it completely drug your battery down in a matter of seconds, down to zero.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that one. I had quite a few of them back then, but yeah, there was another one where I would zoom in on the object, and it would push the zoom back, or some unknown force would push the zoom back, and then after I did that a few times, it just it actually broke the camera internally, and I took the camera in to get repaired, and there was a little copper or brass strip in there. I don't know what its function was, but the guy said that it had been severed in half very cleanly. And
what had been severed in half?
Some little
item in the camera.
Yeah, some little item in the camera. He said he'd never seen anything like it. It was severed cleanly in half, and he replaced the part and gave me the little part to take home because I wanted to show people.
All right, what this suggests is really fascinating. It suggests that these visitors or visitor, or probably more than one, are able to get inside of your head and understand what you're thinking, what you're doing.
Oh,
and
thank you.
In addition to that, externally, electronically, affect your equipment.
Yes, or shut you off like they did with me, or knock me out in a way that you don't even know anything happened to you. You know, it's like they seem to be, it seems to be child's play for them to do these kind of things. And
one wonders if it is some kind of play. That's,
intuitively, I feel like it is sometimes, you know. It's like they're having fun, I think, you know.
let's hope that would be it, because I'd hate to think they were being some kind of deadly serious about doing such trivial things to aggravate you and thwart you.
And I thought of that too. Like Brett and I often think about what exactly are they doing there and why, you know. It's like after 20 years, I really don't have an answer, but sometimes I sense a playfulness on their part. Sometimes I sense a little bit of menace. Sometimes,
messing with you, of course.
Yeah, and but nothing, you know, really bad seems to have happened. I mean, I guess being knocked out a couple times in my life by...
Well, they didn't let you fall on your face, so it's okay.
Yeah, that's right, and there was no real physical or mental harm done to me afterwards that I could detect, you know.
Well, it doesn't sound like they did anything. You sound fine.
Thank you.
That reminds me of that old thing. Remember, even if you fall on your face, you're still moving forward.
Thank you. Yes.
All right.
I like that one.
Okay.
You keep that much,
I like it.
All right. So we've looked at number one. We've looked at number two, and that's Brett's little girl. And his wife was with him at the time, and you told her, you called it up, and it showed up, but it took a while. There was nothing there. And I think she did say on there, there's nothing there. But then it popped up,
mm-hmm.
and she saw it.
Yeah. On the original footage that I had of this, which was better than what we could see there, and we had loaded this thing into Photoshop at some point back when Mark had his older Mac gear available, and there's actually this ship, you can actually see where the atmosphere becomes perturbed and all of a sudden, bang, the ship just appears. It was actually caught on the video.
Like what we sometimes call a plasma, a smudge, or vibration, or waves, a disturbance.
Some kind of energetic interaction or something.
Right. I got it. Very good. Yeah. Okay. Now, number three is also very smart, what you did. Well, tell us which one of you wants to take this. This is the conventional aerial objects comparison video.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was
We got to take a break. Go ahead. Tell us about that a little bit, then we'll come back. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that I started filming these conventional objects for comparison because I had a friend who, whenever I showed her my footage, she'd say, "I see a helicopter," no matter what it looked like. And so I finally took some pictures of helicopters and things to show her that the two things were different.
All right. Everyone can take a look at video number three while we're away. When we come back, we'll take a look at it one more time. And we've got three more. And we've got some still photos and plenty of time for other things as well. Brett and Mark are back with us tonight, and we will be back with you after the top of the hour break.